Sunday morning, just after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm Brian Feldman, and this is Out of Line. We are here every Sunday, live in the Fox Sports Residential Bancorp studio in Las Vegas. The we includes co-host Caleb Herring. Caleb, for at least another year, is the last UNLV quarterback to lead them to a bowl game. So many people are talking about Marcus Arroyo. I guess I'd change my opening and throw that in there.
Yeah, it's... I wish that title said the last quarterback to win, but that's the only regret I have. But as long as that title stands, I have a claim to fame in Las Vegas.
You do.
People can like it or hate it, but
it's there.
I'm going to not say it myself, but be glad when other people say
it. The thing is, it exists, unlike my laptop. Let's put it that way.
I'm sorry, man.
That's all right. It happens. Well, again, Caleb is also part of the UNLV football broadcast team, and unless he gets sacked... No pun intended.
Why would you? What?
He will be co-hosting.
First of all, that was probably the lamest joke I've ever heard.
I liked it. I liked it.
Oh my God. That's like dad joke 3.0.
It's got me.
Ridiculous.
It's got me smiling. You'll be doing the Marcus Arroyo show, right?
Yeah, they
told you that. They've already tapped you on the shoulder.
Well, they have not already done that because there's a lot of logistics that go into these contract plannings.
But I
would hope so. I think so.
All right. Well, if you do it, I imagine it'll be with Russ Langer and Steve Cofield again on our sister station, ESPN The Leader. Also here, producer, and he's a newlywed, right?
I don't like that word, but
you don't like that word.
Technically,
he's a newlywed.
Yeah, I mean, because when you get married, you've been technically together for some time before. It's not like
well, you could say he's a newlywed again. He's been a newlywed before. It's not the first time, but that is Chris Magnum Chapman, who
HOF.
Aside from potentially being a coronavirus carrier, is also the locker room reporter for the Vegas Golden
Knights.
You're
gonna get his press badge revoked. With
no, he just has to wear a mask, which I think he should do anyways. and behind the tripod, the intern and now the Out of Line social media director,
The Wiz!
Spencer The Wiz Ostrowski. I'm going to keep doing that every week. I enjoy it as well. Listen, the show is streaming live on the LV Sports Network. And now, on top of Facebook Live, the show can be seen all over the place. Thanks to The Wiz, who will fill you in on all that shortly, how you can be involved, sign up. I don't know. He does, though. And the show is live. And if you can, catch Magnum in between Sunday morning Liverpool goals. He'll take your call, right? But if he's watching, if Liverpool scores when you're trying to call, he's not going to answer the phone, I promise you. His hands are in the air, and if he could be yelling aloud, he would be. But he doesn't. So, but listen, give us a call. The Fox Sports Residential Bancorp studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Trey Hurlburt's in the game. Gets the ball to Coleman, who shoots a three. Marvin knocks it down. 92-68 running Rebels. Rebels will go to 12-6 in conference play. They will win six of their last seven in conference play. They will win 12 conference games for the first time since the 2007-2008 season.
I'm The Wiz, and this is What's on Tap. Thanks to our title sponsor, Residential Bancorp, whether purchasing a new home or refinancing the home you already own, Residential Bancorp is the company to turn to for all your home financing needs. Residential Bancorp, funding America one neighborhood at a time. On tap, drink the water, people. The Peter DeBoer-led Vegas Golden Knights are the hottest team in the NHL. They are on a franchise-high 8-game winning streak. Yesterday, UNLV finished the regular season with their 6th straight win and earned a bye in the Mountain West Tournament. UNLV legend Ricky Sobers will join the break to break it down, and Jimmy Gemma will also be joining to talk about big league weekends going on this weekend and next weekend at the Las Vegas ballpark. And we are finally out of the prehistoric age of social media, so check us out on Out of Line Fox LV on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to listen back to the show, you can go on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Radiohead, literally anywhere you could ever imagine. It'll be there. I do recommend checking us out on Twitter and Instagram. Lots of great stuff, especially going on at the ballpark this weekend. I'm The Wiz, and that's What's on Tap, brought to you by our title sponsor, Residential Bancorp. If you're looking to buy a home or refinance the home you own, choose a company you can trust. Residential Bancorp, funding America one neighborhood at a time.
3 seconds left. brought to their feet at T-Mobile Arena. It's a victory for the Golden Knights and Robin Leonard's VGK debut. Final score, Golden Knights 4, Sabres 2.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Yeah, well, the puck is definitely going in the right direction for the Vegas Golden Knights. Chris, it's been pretty incredible what this team has done over the past couple of weeks. I mean, they are playing some great hockey. And you look at Pete DeBoer, and he's just punching the right buttons, man. He really is. Fenner, what a great pickup this guy was for this team at this point in time. We've talked about needing a backup goalie that you really feel secure about, and I wish Malcolm Subban all the best. I think he'll have a decent NHL career, but I think this is a better fit. And was it a slap in Marc-Andre Fleury's face? I think it was a motivational tool used by a lot of coaches in every sport. You do that as superstars get older and aging. You push them if you're a good coach and you figure out how to do it. And I think it's a good button that he pushed, Chris. I really do. And if you don't see how Pete DeBoer is a motivator by right now with what he's done with the Golden Knights, then you're not paying attention.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot coming in to the you know, when Gerard Gallant was fired. And I'm pretty sure on this show I said, listen, fans need to understand this is a business. And Pete DeBoer is a really good coach. And I hear some people saying, trying to take away from what he's done. The team is what, 12-3 and something? I think it's 12-3-2 since he took over the team. It's like, look, you don't get there by mistake. You know, clearly the guy knows what he's doing. It's been a pretty good run of games for the Golden Knights in that time, but there's a lot to it as well from the players' perspective. The guys are playing a lot better. I don't know if it's a system change. I don't know if it's a personnel thing. You know, some guys have been in and out of the lineup. They've been missing Alex Tuck for a while. Derek England hasn't been playing. You know, Zach Whitecloud's come in and he's done a good job playing on the blue line. You know, Mark Stone. Now, granted, he missed the last game. My gut tells me he's going to miss today as well. But, you know, during this streak, Mark Stone has been everything that he's supposed to be. He's been an elite player, and I think that's what fans anticipated when he came in, because I'll be honest, there were some times where Mark Stone was invisible.
Well, he seemed lackadaisical for a little bit earlier in the season, or maybe even lethargic, but that's where Pete DeBoer comes in. How much do you think the change in Mark Stone and the morphing of him back to the guy that they expected him to be is attributed to Pete DeBoer and his coaching?
Well, I mean, I think what Pete DeBoer has done, which we did not see from Gerard Gallant, was Pete DeBoer put his best players together.
Afraid to change lines up on the fly.
He put his best center with his two best wings. And in doing so, he moved Paul Stastny up to play with Riley Smith and Jonathan Marchessault. And we haven't seen the explosion from Marchessault, but we've seen Riley Smith. Riley Smith now has a career high 27 goals. I mean, he's going to get to 30 goals. Max Pacioretty could get to 40 goals. Yeah. You know, that's pretty impressive if you think about the fact that there was a period of time where this team looked like they may not make the playoffs. They fire their coach midseason. I still don't like the way it was done. I don't like firing Gallant on a Tuesday morning in Ottawa. To me, it was cowardly to do it that way.
How about kicking the media out so they can't interview fans and ask them about what they thought of it? Yeah. I mean, that was the biggest bunch of crap I've ever seen.
The whole thing stunk, but like I said, Pete DeBoer's a good coach, and they will get results. If you told me 2 months ago that this team was going to be the Pacific Division champs, or they would be in place to be the Pacific Division champs at this point in the season, I would have told you you're crazy. Yep. They just weren't consistent enough. They weren't good enough. They weren't getting the results.
Well, you know what I was thinking, Chris, and I was going to tell you, you know, and I don't mean to say this in any kind of negative way or have a negative overtone to it, but I did not feel during this season at any point in time early on that with Gerard Gallant, this team was capable of winning a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I don't.
Now I feel that this team is capable of winning a Stanley Cup.
Well, I think you have to look at it that way, because you look at the moves that they made at the deadline. Robin Lehner is an elite goalie.
Yes.
And I don't know what's in the future, but my belief is you don't make that move for Robin Lehner unless you have plans on keeping him. This is not an organization that is short-sighted. This is not an organization that does things without considering what's at stake. They're not a what's the word? A knee-jerk reaction?
No.
They don't. They've analyzed Malcolm Subban.
They're an analytical team.
Yes,
they are.
They have analyzed Malcolm Subban, who I loved Malcolm. He was a great guy, fun to talk to. I was always in his corner. I felt like maybe he wasn't given an opportunity. Maybe the reality is maybe Malcolm just wasn't good enough to earn that opportunity. You know, there were things that maybe they saw from Malcolm that they didn't like, and that's not to knock on the guy.
Not at all.
I mean, like I said, I really liked him. I wish him all the best. I hope he goes to Chicago. And I hope he becomes a guy who plays for 10 years.
Who gets proposed to by a friend of Lindsey Vonn's?
Yeah, exactly. Why not?
Like his brother? I mean,
I hope he has a long career with the Blackhawks.
His brother, did you know that? That Lindsey Vonn, the skier, the great Olympic skier, literally proposed to P.K. Subban. She turned it around. She said, hey, this is the modern world. I'm going to propose. It's pretty cool. They did this big thing where they did this satire where they were asking him questions about each other. You know, like what she knew about like his hockey career and what he knew about her skiing career. And it was crazy. He blew her away. He knew way more about her than she knew about him. I was really impressed. I would have thought it would be the other way around.
Well, maybe he was a stalker. That's kind of creepy.
But she asked him to marry him. She likes stalkers then.
I mean, it's flattering to a woman to be stalked at some level until it gets creepy.
Yeah, well,
you know things that you're supposed to know, then it's flattering. But if you know things that maybe are supposed to be secret, it's creepy.
I like PK. I only met him once. I met him at the NHL Awards ceremony at the on that red carpet event when the Knights went to the Stanley Cup Finals a couple of years ago, and I got a chance to meet PK Subban for a second on the red carpet. And he was a pretty good guy. He's wearing this gold chain. He actually was pretty styling, man, and I liked the guy. I thought he was cool. And a lot of people said that he was going to be an ass, and I didn't see that at all in him. But, you know, looking at their next four games, they're all winnable to me. You know, you got two more at home, two on the road. And to me, the next scary game is probably when they play in Edmonton, Chris, and that's five games away. Four more games, could they win 12 straight? Because I'm looking at these next four. Calgary may be a little bit tough, but this team could win the next four games.
I don't think they will. I think they'll stumble somewhere along the line. I mean, look, that's first of all, to win eight games in a row in this league, when you look at some of the teams that are involved in this streak, I mean, you've got the defending Stanley Cup champ, St. Louis Blues.
A 1-0 shutout to the Islanders. That was an unbelievable game.
You've got them shutting out Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl just a couple nights ago.
Yep.
That's the second-place team in the Pacific. Then you look at the game they played against the Capitals. They beat the Lightning. I mean, they have beat the elite teams in this league during this winning streak. And I think that's what gives fans so much more. And it almost makes me think that when they weren't sure what they were going to do with the deadline. When they won a couple of these games, they beat St. Louis the way they did. Two times they've come from multiple goals down in the third period to beat the Blues. I mean, that's impressive. The way they beat the Islanders. They beat the Ducks last week, who stink, but it was a gritty win, right? You give up those two late goals in the final 2 minutes of the game when they have the empty net. And then you pull it out in overtime. You know, that's a gutsy, gritty win on the road against a team that really is playing with nothing to lose. I think it kind of made the front office say, hey, you know what? We can win this thing. Let's go make the moves we want to make at the deadline. They bring in Nick Cousins, who only scored a goal in his first game. Yeah. You know, he's a good player. He's a guy who will fit in nice on that third, fourth line.
And Alec Martinez is just a winner.
Yeah, I mean, Alec Martinez is a guy who understands how to win. And then Robin Lehner, I mean, like I said, this is a guy who finished second in the Vezina Trophy last year. He finished second to win the best goalie in the league.
It's crazy.
You look at his career numbers, and again, it's not a knock on Malcolm, but he is so much better than, I mean, Robin Lehner is probably a top 10, 12 goalie in the league.
Yeah. You know, and the one misconception, and what I've talked to the Golden Knights fans that I've had a chance to speak with since they picked up Lehner, it's the fear of, oh, my God, Marc-Andre Fleury. People, at some point in time, this team has to move on from Marc-Andre Fleury. And I don't want to scare you or put the fear of God into you about the guy, but Marc-Andre Fleury, you know, we were talking about it last night. He is only 35. He'll be 36 pretty soon. But in hockey years and all the years this man has played, he's had some serious concussions in the game. And you can see that to play consistently for an 82-game season in the National Hockey League and maybe only get spelled, you know, 10 games is about what the backup plays during the season. That is a lot to ask of a guy like Marc-Andre Fleury, because the goalie is the one player that never leaves the ice. Even though they're not skating up and down all the time, they're wearing that heavy equipment, and there's games where they get peppered. And Marc-Andre Fleury, it is not to test him or to challenge him this year, although I do think we'll see Leonard a decent amount in the playoffs. It is for the future after this year. Next year, is there competition for the starting goaltender of the Vegas Golden Knights? You better believe it. And it's okay. It's okay. And Marc-Andre Fleury will rise to the challenge. And, you know, I think Marc-Andre Fleury, I look at him, I don't see more than two more years left in this guy. I just don't. And that's being straight out honest. Leonard, a guy that can carry them for the next half decade plus. And that's huge. So that's what I got to say about the Vegas Golden Knights. Listen, let's take a break. On the other side of this break, we are going to have Ricky Sobers, UNLV legend. His number is in the rafters at the Thomas and Mack Center, the great number 40 for the UNLV Running Rebels back. Really, he was the first. If you don't know about Ricky, check him out. Google him now before he comes on. But he was the very first number one draft pick, or I should say first round draft pick, that UNLV ever had. He was really the beginning of the Jerry Tarkanian era, where Jerry Tarkanian put these teams together that were phenomenal. These collegiate teams, the Running Rebels, the name of them, and really Ricky Sobers was the initial great recruit for Jerry Tarkanian. He'll be joining us afterwards to break down this team, because we had a chance, and Wiz was there with me at the Boise State game. We had a chance to sit next to Ricky during the game and kind of get his analysis of the game and where this team is at right now. And he seemed to kind of like it, although I didn't think Boise State showed up in that game, but he did seem to kind of like it. Listen, we'll take that break, and also Jim Gemma will be on the phone a little bit down the road, the media relations director for the Aviators. You've got Big League Weekend going on right now at the Las Vegas Ballpark. The Cleveland Indians are in town playing the Oakland A's. They played yesterday. Really good game. Two-run game. They play again today at 1 o'clock. And then next weekend, you've got the Chicago Cubs and the Cincinnati Reds coming to town for a couple games. Really cool, man. Vegas is ripping it up. And we'll talk all about that in a little bit right here. Out of line, Fox Sports Radio.
Fact this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
It is a fact. The UNLV Running Rebels ended their regular season winning their last six games and seven of their last final eight. Included in that streak, a win on the road over then unbeaten San Diego State, who was number four in the country and remains in that spot. They finished the regular season 11-14, 14-11, but they ended up 12-6 in the Mountain West, which was tied for the second-best conference record, and gave them the number four seed in the conference tournament. This means they earned a bye and the right to play Boise State, who they just beat by 10. They were up by 30. They gave up a 30-point lead in the second half and still ended up winning by 10. Kind of put the brakes on a little bit. I don't think they meant to, but they did. And here UNLV is in a position. They've got a bye. They're playing a team they just beat, so they got to be very confident against them. And they win that game. They'll be in the semifinals in the Mountain West Conference Tournament, probably playing San Diego State again. And most people that I've talked to feel if they win that game, it gives them 19 wins on the season, and they'll get an invitation to the NIT Tournament if they make it to the finals of the Mountain West Conference Tournament. And again, they should. If you beat San Diego State twice and you're the team that's giving them their two losses on the season,
yeah,
should they not get an invitation to the NIT?
Absolutely. And they have a chance to beat San Diego. And I think it's for a little bit of a psychological reason that San Diego State's in, you know, in the tournament. They might not have that much of an investment in going all out against UNLV or going out all in the tournament overall. They might not really feel the need to. And then again, they might feel the need to have some revenge and play tougher. But San Diego State's had a couple of close games. Nevada,
Reno, just about, yeah, yesterday.
Reno just took them to the wire,
that
too.
That school so, up north.
You know, I was frustrated about, too, honestly, because ESPN sent me an alert that it was an upset alert for the Reno game when Reno had San Diego State on the ropes. But they did not send me an alert when UNLV had San Diego State on the ropes.
So they and believe,
I was, a little,
they
I was
believe,
a little bit upset about that.
They
I,
believe
I
Reno could beat them, yeah, but not San Diego
State. Not UNLV, yeah. But we ended up doing it, and they didn't. So, ha, take that. But, no, I think they have a chance to get in the NIT. If that scenario plays out the way it did. Now, getting that first round bye of the conference tournament actually ends up hurting them as far as the strength of the opponents they have to play. They have to play Boise, who's not a team that you laugh at, even though they have beat them, like you said. And then you play San Diego State early in the tournament. If you those will be your first two opponents, assuming that San Diego State gets to that position, but I kind of think they will. But so it plays out tougher. A lot of people had the argument: well, it would maybe not be as good an easy a route to the finals if you didn't have that first round bye. So yeah, but we'll see. If they do get in that scenario, they beat Boise State, they beat San Diego State. Who knows? They might at that point. You're thinking they win the conference championship number one. And then number two, you get the NIT bid. I think that's a possible scenario if they do that.
Well, you know, one of the things that I don't really think that we've talked about is the fact that this team, the confidence they're playing with.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you see it. But one of the other things that I think we need to bring up is something that has been lacking for a really long time. I would say since Lon Kruger was here. This team is playing better in February, March than they were.
Yeah, they're ending the season.
Than they were in November. You know, it's been about a decade since we've seen a UNLV team that plays better at the end of the season than they do at the beginning, right? Progressively, the teams have gotten worse. And you know, no knock on Marvin, you know, that one year where he won 20 games, they literally beat nobody.
Nobody. It was terrible.
You know, they had like 12 wins in the out-of-conference or non-conference schedule, and they were against, you know, a bunch of SWAC schools, a bunch of MEAC schools, and it's like, yeah, those are 16 versus 16.
Well, you get it because typically a D1 school, when they win 20 games, will get an NIT bid.
Yeah.
And they didn't even, I mean, I don't know if they got a bid to the
No, remember they turned down the seat, whatever
was it
was.
Was it the CBA or whatever they called it? Yeah, I thought they never made it clear that they even got invited. But yeah, they knew they didn't want to pay.
They weren't even winning games in the conference tournament.
No, it was terrible. Well, listen, joining us on the phone right now on the Fox Sports Residential Bank Line studio line, the guy who really got, you know, made the Runnin' Rebels start being the Runnin' Rebels. The Jerry Tarkanian era really started with a guy named Ricky Sobers, who's known as Ricky Rebel. His jersey is in the roster, the rafters at the Thomas and Mack Center. You can see number 40 up there. This guy was an incredible player. 16th pick overall in the NBA draft after a senior season at UNLV. The very first-round player ever taken in the NBA draft out of UNLV. And again, it started a run of some great players, some great teams that eventually led to UNLV's first and only national championship back in 1990. That team, a lot of people feel they should have won too, but Duke was a juggernaut in their second run. But joining us right now, Ricky Sobers, we appreciate you joining the show, my friend.
It's absolutely my pleasure, gentlemen.
And joining us with us, sitting next to me, by the way, I should introduce everyone in here so Ricky knows, Caleb Herring, the last UNLV quarterback to take the Rebels to a bowl game, is sitting to my left on your radio dial. To my right, I got the Wiz, the intern who was at the game with me and Ricky Sobers the other night, along with a couple of other friends of mine, and Chris Magnum Chapman, of course, the producer behind the Wheels of Steel here. Ricky, let me tell you something. We got a chance to watch the game the other night. Matter of fact, we met watching the UNLV basketball game against Boise State. You've gotten to watch this team over the years. You watched, obviously, were part of what turned UNLV into a legendary basketball program, and then you have seen the decline over the past couple of decades. Where do you think the state of UNLV basketball is right now?
I think the state of UNLV basketball is really up and coming, and I think we're heading towards back to respectability and beyond. I think TJ is doing an excellent job, and this team that is competing right now is playing like a juggernaut. They're playing fearless. They're playing, you know, Running Rebel basketball, and it really is exciting for everybody to see. They are definitely overachieving, and when a team overachieves like this, you got to give credit to the coach. He's got them going, baby.
And talking about coaching and TJ and what he's been able to do, what do you think has been the difference that he's implemented as a coach to that has made the biggest difference between what we saw early in the season and kind of the struggles they had to get to those wins versus now late coming in hot in conference and knocking off number four teams? What's been the main difference you've seen from TJ as a coach?
Well, I think it's a variety of things. I think TJ, in the beginning of the season, he was trying to figure out, you know, who his go-to guys were, who was going to come and play like dogs every, you know, like pit bulls every night. And, you know, in the beginning, you know, it's all new to him, and he's trying to figure it out. So I think part of it is that development process of learning a team. Another thing that I think that is important is he got the team to buy into an unselfish style of play and to play a much better brand of basketball. The thing that I had recognized over the years with previous coaches is that these other coaches did not implement the type of Tarkanian defense that you really need. Defense wins championships. That's what's happening with this team.
You know, it's funny, Ricky, because that is such a one of the oldest monikers in sports is defense wins championships. And yet the Runnin' Rebels culture, and it might be a little bit of a misconception because people don't talk about how good the Tarkanian teams were defensively. What they talk about is Runnin' Rebels. This is a team, when you go watch the Rebels play, they are going to give you offense. They're going to score points. They're going to put up points and score numbers in bunches. That's what they do. But yet this UNLV team, at least the teams that I remember, and especially the teams of the early 90s, a little bit after your time, maybe a decade or so, when you were wrapping up your NBA career, but that UNL team of the 90s that morphed into the national championship team, when that team had to play defense, they could lock it down. And that was a direct reflection of Jerry Tarkanian, right?
There's no doubt about it. You know, with Coach Tark and Gerg implementing, you know, such unique defensive concepts such as the amoeba defense, and at core, having a very solid, very flexible, and very hard-nosed man-to-man defense. Listen, the sky's the limit when teams play like this. You can see it at any level.
You know, Ricky, one thing a lot of people don't know about you, which is a pretty interesting story, Ricky Sobers did not play high school basketball. Okay.
Oh my! You guys been doing your homework.
Pretty impressive stuff that this guy did not play in high school and ended up becoming a college All-American and a first-round NBA pick. The one thing Ricky knows a lot about is toughness. Growing up on the streets of New York, playing in the Bronx, and that got your game and morphed your game into being a great player collegiately, and then into a nice lengthy NBA career. But the one thing is, Ricky, and I talk about toughness, and it's one thing you see with these teams that end up pushing through when the big dance comes up, which we're just a few weeks away from that. It's teams that have toughness, mental fortitude, and you see guys on those teams with moxie. And one of the things that I have noticed, a player developing with UNLV that I see taking on that role, didn't see a lot of the floor at the beginning, and maybe this is the growth of TJ Otzelberger recognizing a guy, you know, a guy in my opinion that is the nails of this team and represents what they need to have, and that's Metro Long. We saw him at one point, they grabbed him and he whips the ball away. He reminds me of Bryce Dejon Jones back, you know, in the Dave Rice days, but a player with moxie, that really a guy that's going to get your team fired up. You know that it's a guy that's got your back and you need someone like that. I like that. But Ricky, the thing that concerns me the most, it is the size of this team. Yes, they've been running teams out of the gym with their size, and they're making teams go small on them. But we know that, yeah, basketball might not be a low post back to the basket game anymore. It's definitely more of a perimeter game than it's ever been before. But you still have to have guys down low that can play the game. And other than when you get beyond Mbakay Jong, this team doesn't have that. How far can they go without a legitimate big man to carry them through?
Well, I think in this conference, you know, it may not matter so much because from what I can see, they really don't have dominant big men in this particular conference. So I think that their chances are as good as anybody that is out there. They're playing well. They're playing with confidence. They're playing together, and they're playing a very hard-nosed TJ brand of basketball. And it really is exciting to see. When I sit in the stands and I'm talking to old-time Rebel people, they like what they see. And when that happens, listen, all we got to do is upgrade our talent, and we'll be back on the scene in national prominence in no time.
He is Ricky Sobers, the ultimate warrior, Ricky Rebel, jersey in the rafters at the Thomas and Mack Center. And there is one dominating center that I can say in the Mountain West Conference, and we will see him playing at the next level. He was out at the beginning of the season, and I think that's where we saw Utah State drop off a little bit. But Nemus Keita is the real deal. I watched him play last year, watch him morph into an incredible basketball player as a freshman. I thought he could have gone to the NBA then. I thought he would have been a project. This year, he was hurt at the beginning of the season. But since he has taken the floor and started playing, Utah State's a different team. And I tell everyone, if it does turn out to be Utah State and San Diego State in the Mountain West Conference Championship game, yes, everyone here will be a little bit disappointed UNLV didn't get there, but that will be one hell of a basketball game. Sam Merrill, as good of a collegiate player as I've seen, very, very cerebral. He's more of a tweener. Well, he'll end up playing professionally in Europe, but at the collegiate level, he's as good as it gets. He'll be at least third-team All-American this year. And Keita, again, is a guy that's going to play in the NBA and probably a first-round draft pick. Ricky, final thoughts on this UNLV team. What do you expect we're going to see this week? And is this a team that we're going to see playing beyond this week, say, in a postseason tournament?
Well, my hope is that they take all the successes that they've had in recent weeks and apply themselves and realize they've got nothing to lose, that nobody really has expected anything from this particular team, and they have definitely overachieved under TJ's tutelage. So sky's the limit. Go out there and play reckless without any fear. And who knows what can happen? I remember, when I was playing with the Phoenix Suns my rookie year, we were projected to place fifth in the conference, and we wound up going head-to-head with the Boston Celtics and gave them a real scare. So as the saying goes, that's why they play the games, baby.
That's him, Ricky Sobers. We greatly appreciate you, my friend. Next time we get you on the show, we're going to bring you in studio so we can get you up on Facebook Live and everybody can see you. So we greatly appreciate you joining the show. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and I'm sure we're going to be seeing you out at the Mountain West Conference Tournament.
We will see you there. Be there or be square.
You got it. We need the fans to return to the MAC. They need to pack the MAC for the Mountain West. Ricky Sobers, UNLV running Rebel legend. If you want to see him, all you got to do is look up at the Thomas and Mack Center or watch him. He'll be floating around, Ricky in town, and hopefully we'll be hearing a lot more from Ricky Sobers as time goes on. We appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you. Really appreciate being on the show, guys. Go Rebs!
Go Rebs. All right, Mags, let's do Blazing before we take a break.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot.
Yeah, Blazing, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Two happy hours of every day, America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports, and a long three-pointer. Making a Mountain Dew ball away from Centennial Hills Hospital. We're out there every Monday night during football season, and we are enjoying one of the best Monday night football parties in town. And, of course, the Vegas Golden Knights watch parties. We got two left. The next one will be Monday, March the 23rd. And the Wiz and Company, we don't know what company is yet, will be hosting that party as I will be in Costa Rica. So I won't be there, man. You guys will be doing the show without me. It'll be a good show again, right?
Yeah, of course
it will. I'll try to listen
in. It'll be a great show.
see, just a slight.
It'll be an on-time show.
No,
It'll be a very beautiful show.
All right,
show.
Listen. You know what? I'm going to get right into Blazing, and I'm going to start it off. There is a lot that I could have said Blazing, but I don't know if you got to see the Duke-Virginia game last night.
But I know Duke lost, so it's always a good day.
I knew you'd be happy about it, Mags. But Virginia, last year, this guy, you got to give Tony Bennett some credit. I mean, the guy just flat out can coach basketball. And he is, a couple years ago, Virginia becomes the first ever number one seed to lose in the first round to a number 16 seed. And it was unbelievable. And it could have really destroyed a lot of people's career, especially a coach. I mean, to recover from that mentally, it's like, wow, how did that just happen? They weren't just the number one seed. They were the number one team in the country. And they lost, which means they lost to the very last team to get into the tournament, basically. And yet they rebound, no pun intended, last year, and they win the national title. That is a hell of a turnaround, and that is a hell of a job by a coach to be able to turn your team around, get them past, somehow have a very short memory, move forward. And now, again, this Virginia team is not nearly as talented. They lost three key players from last year's national championship team, not nearly as talented of a squad as they are this year in the ACC. And yet, here they are, winning a bunch of games at the end of the season, not ranked, and they end up beating Duke 52-50 last night. How about Jay Huff? A triple-double, almost a triple-double, right next door in college. The guy had 10 points and 6 blocks in the first half. He averages less than 8 points a game normally. He ends up with 15 points, 9 rebounds, and 10 blocks. When you hear a double-double, it's usually not points and blocks. 10 blocks in a game is unbelievable, and there's not a lot of guys who have done that at the collegiate level. I was amazed at how short that list was of guys that have had double-doubles with 10-plus blocks being part of that. And so got to take it off to Jay Huff, who leads them to a team like Magnum. I hate the Duke Blue Devils, so I'm never unhappy when I see Coach K. I was so bummed this new commercial with Charles Barkley and them. I don't know if you've seen it, Mags, where Coach K, because of his 5 championships, he keeps reiterating them. I'm like, please get that commercial off the air, man. Seriously.
He is, Coach K, I know he's got the 5 titles. It's going to sound completely ridiculous when I say it. He is the most overrated coach in college basketball history. When you look at the talent that guy has had come through that university, how many times he's lost early in the tournament with number 1 overall seed.
That's very true.
You know, they lost to Lehigh. They lost to Norfolk State 1 year. I think it was Norfolk State who beat them, a 15-2. They're always given the easiest road to get to the Final Four. The referees love
without a
them.
Christian Laettner's prayer, they've only got 4 national championships.
And here's the other thing. Everyone forgets Christian Laettner should have been thrown out of that game.
Before that even happened.
After he stomped on Aminu Timberlake in the first half.
Wow, it's a good memory, Mags. That's
you know,
Mags' hate for the Blue Devils is deep-seated here.
I hate Kentucky, too.
Diligence to accentuate the hate.
I don't like Kentucky either. So I'm certainly not a Kentucky fan, but reality is you stomp on a guy's chest, you should be tossed.
Yeah. See, he hates the Blue Devils, and he has facts to support his hate.
Yeah. Oh, he does. Well, that's what I said. Well, he does due diligence to accentuate his hatred. That is amazing.
The thing is, that guy has had so many first-round draft picks, and to only have 5 national titles, I know, right, only 5. The reality is, like Brian said, he should only have 4.
And as long as he's been doing it.
And the
he's
thing
been
is,
at Duke forever.
He's not the Wizard of Westwood, let's put it that way, right?
We will still never know what truly happened before the UNLV Duke game in the Final Four of the year Duke beat them. There's so many rumors that have always circulated. We will never know what happened. But, you know, I mean, hey, good job. Good job, Coach K.
Well, they weren't wearing wires and seeing curveballs. That's one thing that Duke wasn't doing in that game. We know that. One other thing real quickly, and I just for a second, Blazin, because we're talking basketball. I'll keep it on the same subject. The Grizzlies played your L.A. Lakers. The reason I'm bringing it up is not because of that I'm going to say they're blazing. It's Ja Morant.
No, you definitely just stole what I was going to. If you would just let me go.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Ja Morant, you know what?
No. You did it now.
Okay.
So finish whatever you're going to say. Ja Morant's your blazing too. He's
what I was going to say is this is a guy that definitely is not going to be a flash in the pan. This guy is the real deal, I think a future superstar.
I think he's the Rookie of the Year without a question.
I agree with you
at this point right now. Now, but with a caveat, if Zion Williamson gets the Pelicans into the eighth seed before the season ends, so they're 3 games out right now, behind the Grizzlies.
That'd be a pretty incredible accomplishment.
If they get to the playoffs, I think there's a substantial argument for Zion Williamson taking Rookie of the Year from Ja Morant, which would be a travesty because Ja Morant has been phenomenal.
He
played the whole year. Memphis did not have a hope for the playoffs this year. They were completely rebuilding with
Over Anthony Davis after Anthony Davis made one of the most ridiculous blocks last night on Ja Morant that you will ever see in the NBA. It was so cool to watch that he got all ball and maybe he caught his arm at the end of it, but you cannot call a foul on an unbelievable block like that. But then Ja Morant to have the stones to try to go over Anthony. Now he didn't succeed,
and that's
but it was still. Did you see how high, how vertical he was?
That's my like with Ja Morant. Ja Morant, it's so the thing vertical. About it is he's an exciting player. He's not just effective. He's exciting. He's got the Memphis market is excited about basketball. Like, it's never been exciting brand of basketball in Memphis for the past decade and a half. It hasn't been with Mike Conley and, you know, the slow pace game with Zach Randolph, Z-Bo. Everybody plays below the rim, essentially. This guy's electrified the Memphis basketball market, and it's good for the NBA when small market teams succeed, Memphis being one of them, New Orleans being another one, OKC being one of the. When those teams succeed, the NBA, the overall product is better. But for Ja Morant, essentially be doing it by himself and having them at the A seed, I think is blazing in and of itself. Last night, or, you know, against the Lakers, of course, I got to see that because I'm a Laker fan, diehard, and they're the number one seed still. Even with that loss, with a healthy
Cushion. Well, no, that could be the first-round matchup, the Lakers and the Grizz.
I think this is a little bit of a psychological game by the Lakers. I wouldn't put it past them.
No.
Because they want them to stay the eighth seed.
Yeah.
They want to see the Grizzlies in the first round.
They know they're going to stomp the Grizzlies.
I think a bigger problem would be the Pelicans. If the Pelicans were to get in at that eighth seed, it would be a tougher matchup for the Lakers. Yeah. But against the Grizzlies, they'd sweep them pretty easily, I think.
No, I think so, too. But but like I said, I love watching this guy play basketball. He is
He is
an exceptional talent, and it reminds me of a guy, except he's more talented, but he's kind of like Dominic Wilkins years and years ago. He's a highlight reel. I mean, Dominic Wilkins was the human highlight reel. This guy, every game, he is going to do something special. Also in that game, something special, Kyle Kuzma also had one hell of a monster windmill dunk in this game.
Yeah.
And talk about a guy from college at Utah to where he's at now. Kyle Kuzma, over the past 3 years, has morphed into an NBA all-star and a really, really good player.
Not an all-star, but I think
he will be an all-star. You don't think he'll ever be an all-star?
Maybe at some point, but I don't think he's there yet.
I think it's more because
of the situation than anything. But Kyle Kuzma is, I think, the champion. If you were going to advocate for staying in college longer and not the one-and-done scheme, you would put Kyle Kuzma, because he entered the NBA, because of his time at Utah, he entered the NBA more NBA-ready than any of the rookies that came in that year. Like Lonzo Ball.
There's guys that don't get a career.
There's guys that came in, because they come in. But he was patient enough to stay at Utah. He developed a game. He grew. He matured physically. And then when he entered the NBA, he was ready to make an immediate impact, which is what he did. The first 2 years of his career were his best, obviously. He struggled a little bit this year because AD and LeBron are the focal point. He's trying to find his niche there as number three, which is tough. I think when they get to the playoffs, he makes his way into the starting lineup. I honestly think that's the plan. And Anthony Davis just has to suck it up and play the five. I think that's where they go with this. But who knows? We'll see how that plays out. But I do agree. Kyle Kuzma is one of the most he has the brightest future, I think, of the L.A. Lakers.
You don't use this term a lot because, really, with the way plays are set, but he is a very cerebral basketball player.
And he's a kinetic basketball player.
Yeah.
He's never still on the court. The ball doesn't stop. Whether it's going to the basket or he's putting it up, he's not going to kill the offense with pounding it or anything like that. He's moving without the ball. He finds his niches in the lane. When he sees LeBron driving, he's not just going to stand there and watch. He cuts and moves with him. So he works in that sense. He has some like you said, he's a cerebral basketball player trying
to
find his spot.
That's a gigantic thing when you understand what your weaknesses and your strengths are, and you play to those. And he does that. He exemplifies it. But you're right.
Yeah.
Staying in school, there's not many of them, and there are probably so many wasted careers out there by guys that weren't ready, and because they weren't, they got to the NBA, never got the confidence, and never made it. Where if they would have stayed in college a year or two more, Kyle Kuzma is his example of that, because who knows how good he would have been if he left early, and he didn't. He stayed. So, Blazin, I stole your Blazin. Yeah, we'll just keep that one together.
Go ahead,
all right, Mags, what do you got for us?
I'll keep it quick and simple. Kansas Jayhawks, they look like they are on their way to winning another Big 12 regular season title. It's like the 17th in a row. It seems like they never lose. They've won 14 straight. They look like the team to beat right now in the NCAA tournament. Not saying they're going to win it, but they look like they're the best all-around team. Bill Self, once again, doing an amazing job. Talking about a guy who is not an underrated coach, Bill Self. He's proved it everywhere he's been. I think he was at Tulsa, somewhere else before he went to Kansas. The guy has proven he's a winner. I don't know how you argue against a team that's won 14 straight, 26-3 on the regular season, 15-1 in the Big 12. Looks like they're going to win another Big 12 regular season title.
Second team in history to 2,300 wins the Kansas Jayhawks, and they've had some great coaches there. Bill Self, Larry Brown. That school has always been a top-notch school, and right now they're the number one team in the country, and 15-1 the Big 12. And I agree. I think they're on their way. They got TCU and Texas Tech next, and Baylor, who looked like they were the team in the Big 12. They've got Texas Tech, but they finish on the road against Huggy Bear. Bob Huggins, man, has West Virginia playing well defensive, and I think Baylor loses that one as well. And I just wasn't a big fan of Baylor's, but we'll talk about that. Listen, we're going to take our last break right now. On the other side, we're going to have Jim Gemma, Media Relations Director of the Las Vegas Aviators, out at the Las Vegas ballpark getting ready for today's big league game against the Cleveland Indians playing the Oakland A's, and Jimmy will be on to talk about that. I think there's still some tickets available. We'll let you know. About 6 minutes in front of 9 o'clock, wrapping up Out of Line, and on the phone, our friend, great friend of the show, Jimmy Gemma, Media Relations Director for the Las Vegas Aviators. Jimmy, out at the ballpark, my first time there this year, most of our first time there this year, is a big league weekend kicked off yesterday. The Cleveland Indians and the Oakland A's turned out to be a great ball game, Jimmy. Went right down to the wire. The A's win it by 2, and it couldn't have asked for a better opening day weather-wise at the old ballpark.
Brian, thanks for having me on. Caleb, it's always good listening to your show. Yeah, it's always great to have Major League Baseball here. It was the first time we've had it here at Las Vegas Ballpark. I mean, obviously for years we had it at Cashman Field. So we get guys like Marcus Semien and Matt Chapman, you know, arguably the best left side of the infield of all of Major League Baseball. And you got one of the top 10 players in all of Major League Baseball, Francisco Lindor. I mean, you just don't see this stuff every day. So it's a real treat. They'll be back today at 1 o'clock, and then we'll get to do it all over again next weekend. Cubs and the Reds, those games are definitely going to sell out. And, yeah, it was a great crowd yesterday.
Opportunity for people to still get down there today, Jimmy, and get tickets for tonight's or this afternoon's game?
Yeah, there's still a few seats left. We announced 8,100 yesterday. There's definitely seats available today. I'll be a little wind blown out a little bit, but that's something these guys haven't played in before. So Jesus Luzardo, the A's top prospect, pitched here a little bit last year for the Aviators. He's the real deal. He'll be starting today for the A's.
I'm looking super forward to it. It's always a good time out there. This year's Aviators team, we're about a week and a half away from the start. Well, no, we're a little bit more than that, but we're a little bit away from the start of the season this year. Aviators, what a great, successful season they had to start their first year here. Came out like a house on fire and ended up getting into the playoffs. What are we expecting this year?
Yeah, it was good to see Fran Reardon. He made the trip yesterday. That usually happens when their major league affiliate comes. So, talked to him briefly. The A's are really good up in the big club. We should have another really good team here in Las Vegas this year without any injuries. We'll more than likely have Sky Bolt back here, Dustin Fowler, Eric Campbell. The pitching should be good with Parker Dunchy and some other guys. So, the core is really good. And, the A's always make a concerted effort to field winning teams, especially in AAA. The big clubs had back-to-back 97-win seasons. Really, that AL West is their division to win this year in light of what went on with the Astros.
Yeah, it should be a good season for the A's this year. And, that really tarnished baseball. And it's been a sick subject here on the show for a little bit, the Houston Astros, and we'll get more into that as the season comes around. The one thing I want to tell everyone, Jimmy, if they haven't been out there yet, is the Las Vegas ballpark. Again, if you didn't make it out there in the inaugural season last year, I can't talk enough about this stadium. The most beautiful minor league facility in our country. And, Jimmy, people got to get out there, man. Well, real quickly, if people that want to still get season tickets, and the best way to go about that?
Yeah, best thing to do is call our main office number Monday through Friday, 702-939-7200. Our season tickets are just about sold out as far as what we sell for season tickets. And then, we have plenty of group tickets available and all that good stuff. But aviatorslv.com has the 2020 schedule on there. Obviously, we don't start playing until April 9th. But again, 939-7200. There's definitely a lot of ticket packages that people can look at.
That first five games come up in April against Albuquerque, and that is April 9th. It starts. Jimmy, looking forward to seeing you out there at the ballpark again today. You've got, again, 1 o'clock start. That will be the first pitch right around 107, I think, yesterday afternoon. Cleveland Indians and the Oakland A's today out at the Las Vegas ballpark in Summerlin. Get out there and join it. Jimmy, always a pleasure having you on the show, my friend.
Thanks for always having me on. Thanks for being out at the park. It was good seeing you yesterday.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. That is Jim Gemma, Media Relations Director for the Las Vegas Aviators, and we'll call that the first Las Vegas Aviators report of the year, even though we're talking Major League Baseball. The Aviators coming to town soon, and it is one of the greatest times in Vegas. Listen, we're out of time here. We are here same time every Sunday morning, 8 to 9, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, in the Fox Sports Residential Bancorp Studio. Want to thank our guest, Ricky Sobers. Also want to thank Jimmy Gemma for joining the show. Of course, Caleb Herring, Chris Magno Chapman, and Spencer Ostrowski for taking care of our social media. We will be back next week. We'll be talking a lot about college basketball and the upcoming NFL draft. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.